Welcome to Girlfriends in the Word. I'm Lisa Dorr.
And I'm Robin Eschbach.
And we hope you'll journey with us through the Bible. We'll share scripture, a devotional, have a lively discussion, and close our time together in prayer.
We hope you'll be encouraged and able to live out what we talk about on the program, and even do it today.
Thanks for tuning in. Let's get started. Hey, Robin, we're back again, and that worked really well doing the two books of the Bible. We've got two books again today, and I am so excited about this. This is 1 and 2 Kings. So let's jump right in. It's a big, long story, and it is one of my favorites. So here we go. We've got 1 Kings 18, 21, and 24. How long will you waver between two options? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him. The God who answers by fire, he is God. 1 Kings 18 is one of my favorite stories in scriptures. Power. Acts 1:8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you." Power. God's power. The one and only power. Imagine being called a troubler. "Is that you, you troubler of Israel?" Ahab said to Elijah. But Ahab was the one who had caused trouble. He and his father's family had abandoned the Lord's commands and followed the Baals. It was time for action, a contest. Mount Carmel, 450 prophets of Baal versus Elijah. And the rules were laid out. Get two bulls each, cut them into pieces and put it on the wood, but do not light the fire. Here's the great challenge. Then you call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God who answers by fire, he is God. They called on the name of Baal from morning till noon, but no fire. "Shout louder," Elijah said. "Surely he is God. Perhaps he is deep in thought, or busy, or traveling. Maybe he is sleeping and must be awakened." No God plus no power equals no fire. So now it's Elijah's turn. But wait, he doesn't just call on God and his power. He takes it further. He gathers 12 stones and builds an altar to the Lord. Then he digs a large trench around it. He fills 4 water jugs full of water 3 times. And then he prayed. "O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant and have done all these things at your command. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, so these people will know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you are turning their hearts back again." Then the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the soil, and also licked up the water in the trench. Wow, Robin, doesn't this story just amaze you? It does me. Can you tell us of a time you experienced God's power? Or maybe a time when you felt very confident, knowing God would do something powerful for you.
Lisa, I love that story, and you do so well writing these devotionals. I'm just amazed and over again. You know, last year at this time, you were writing this stuff.
True.
And I look at this story and I think, you know, what a Bible story that is told over and over and over again. And when I think about that, I think of me sitting with little Juliet, my little grandbaby. She's going to be a little toddler. You know, now she's just little. But as she goes through the years, I want to tell her this story. I know she's going to hear it in Sunday school. And I want to know those Bible stories. And the thing that I look at this story with Elijah, and I think, the theme of it is that he was so confident in God. He had this confidence, and you know, how do you get that? And I'm reminded of Hebrews 10:35 that says, "Don't throw away what your God confidence is, which has great reward." So I want that God confidence, and what does it look like? And when I think about it, you know, a confidence in God, usually it involves problems and situations that I don't understand. Right? It's things that are beyond me. And I'm asking, I'm calling God in. I have confidence in him. I trust him that he's actually going to help me with wisdom and understanding and be able to problem solve the situation. That's my confidence in God. And so today, I just look at that Bible story. I think about it. And I thought, yep, I'm telling my grandkids about what it is to have confidence in your own life, knowing that things are hard and difficult, but I trust my mighty God because he is alive and he's well and he brings good things as we want blessings in our life and we value the things that God values. He will bring those blessings our way and we'll see it in all kinds of way, like a mighty fire that is alive and well. And Elijah just stood there and smiled because he knew all along that God was going to do something great.
Amen. And I love that, Robin, that you have your grandchildren, your granddaughter especially, in mind, because you do. You want to share these stories with her. And how great. I just love it. It's so exciting. I was thinking about a time you had shared with me earlier about something that happened to you when you were 15 that really brought the confidence to you. Had you gone to the altar or something, Robin? Was it something?
Yes, I remember this conversation. I was such a quiet kid. Mm. And when I got to be 14 and 15, it became so obvious that I wasn't like keeping up with the Joneses. Mm. And my whole family, my two sisters, they were all doing things for God that I kind of sat quiet in the corner, or I just hesitated so much. And my mom was always encouraging me, Robin, step out. And she was helping me and pleading with me and kind of modeling for me, but I still was looking for more. And I remember I went to church and I was sitting in the pew, and the pastor up front at the end of his sermon, he gave a challenge that for those that felt that they were not comfortable with themselves, they had like a low self-esteem. I remember he used those words, low self-esteem. It just resonated in my little heart of wanting to be so much more. And he said, come on down to the altar. If you really want God to do some things in your life that would bring confidence your way. And I remember I raised my hand and I went down to that altar and I said, Jesus, please help me to be more than I am, because I feel that I could be more, but I just have this sense about myself that I'm not enough and that I'm shy. And it was a beautiful moment. And through life now, I'm 56, and you know, I've got all kinds of roles. I'm a mom, I'm a wife, I've got my girlfriends, I do ministry, and I need that confidence. And guess what? I have really stepped out in that over the years. And I give a lot of it to asking God to help me. And then I give some of it to my mom and dad that really journeyed with me to help me to learn to be conversational, learn to be other-centered, learn how to ask questions and how to share my heart vulnerably, like in an honest way. It's not a show, but it's just share your heart, Robin, of what you're thinking in your head. That's what needs to come out as you're talking to people. And through the years, it's been so, so valuable.
That's beautiful. And I get to journey with you now as an adult, and I see you confident. I see you confident. So that work that God did in that 15-year-old girl and all the help that your parents gave you along the way, I get to benefit from that. And that segues right into 2 Kings. We're going to get this second book in here today. 2 Kings 1:16 says, "Is it because there is no God in Israel for you to consult that you sent messengers to consult Beelzebub, the god of Ekron? Who do you consult? Who's your go-to person? I have some very dear friends and a godly husband. Certainly, I ask for their advice when needed. But the Holy Spirit is my guide. He's the one who knows me best and knows what's best for me. If Jesus Christ is your Lord, then ask the Holy Spirit for the advice. He will lead you into all truth." And so, Robin, that just segues so beautifully that you had your pastor who gave that challenge for you to come to the altar. You had the Holy Spirit in you, prompting you to hear his voice, to know that, you know, you're a little shy and that's not the way, you know, at that time he wanted you to come out of that. So you obeyed and you went forward and you gave that to him, and he gave you that confidence in him to know that he's well pleased with you. And then you had your parents to consult and have them guide you along the way and just encourage. I think that's absolutely beautiful.
And you know what happened too, Lisa? Mm-hmm. Even beyond that, I remember my dad telling me, just sitting in our living room, eating dinner for the kitchen table. He's like, you know, Robin, when those pastors give challenges at the end of their sermons, like your Sunday school teacher or your pastor, all those places that you go to, you know, to hear from things about God, like you go to church a lot, in those moments, there's usually a challenge. And I remember my dad telling me, Robin, get yourself down to the altar. Sometimes it's not that, you know, it's the exact thing that you're dealing with, but get down to the altar because you never know what God's going to do. And you want to be a part of all that. And so even that day when that pastor gave the call for those that had low self-esteem, my dad had been prepping the moment, saying, don't feel bad. You get down to that altar. You hunger after the things of the Lord, and you can't imagine what God will do with that. And so I even found myself, every year we were going to conferences with all the women at Bible study, and I would always announce to the ladies as I was on the platform, and I'll say, you know, we're going to go to this conference. We're going to be there for 1 or 2 days. They've got 4 or 5 services. There's going to be all kinds of speakers. But the moment that counts is at the end of the service when they call us forward. They have prayer people lined up, and I would always encourage those ladies, find yourself down at the altar. Mm. Just find yourself there. Get down on the ground, get on your knees, and just say, God, what about me? What are you doing in my life these days? And then I would, as a leader, I would be down there. We would find each other at the altar, and we would just pray for each other. Mm. After we had the moments of just allowing God to do some things, but always knowing that God sets up those challenges in our church services so that we can ponder and think and recommit and resolve to stay in that gap that God is asking us to stand in and to be in. And so that moment really does count.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. And that is a powerful time. And you want to not miss it, right? That's so great that you challenged the women you shared. First, your dad taught you and challenged you. And then when you were in ministry, you taught and challenged the women. But it's because the proof is in the pudding, right, Robin? I mean, you get up to that altar and the Holy Spirit's power is there and he's doing a work. There's something in that obedience that takes place. You obey, you go forward. Yeah, it can happen in your chair. You could stay right there, right? But there's something that happens when you take those steps forward and you go to the altar and you meet with God and he changes you. It's beautiful. This has been so wonderful, Robin. It's time for us to close our time in prayer. So I'm just so grateful to be here with you. Father, you are amazing. You are the one and only God. You do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine. You are power. Thank you that we can put our faith in you. Your Holy Spirit will come on us and we will receive power. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. You are amazing and wonderful, and you lead us into all truth. Thank you for always knowing the answers, for knowing us individually, and for knowing what's best for us. Thank you that we can consult you today.